words in that, didn't they? Were there different words in that before? It just sounds off on two or three of the words. I know they've changed many of the hymns multiple times, but as I go through that one, I'm like, I know that's not what it used to say back in the purple days, the first purple days. I'll have to look that up. I think I have one of those old hymnals, so I'll have to verify that. So we are going to begin this morning in the book of John. We're going to begin in the book of John, and we'll start and we'll pretty much stay in John chapter 5. So if you'd like to turn there, you can turn with me to John chapter 5. Now, if you're familiar with John 5, if you're familiar with this, you may recognize this as a passage that gives us an example of Christ's miracles causing him to be known and despised by the Jewish leaders, which, you know, of course, fueled the fire that led to his crucifixion and the fulfillment of prophecy. Some may also consider John 5 as somewhat of a Sabbath-specific type passage. However, I believe that there's another underlying lesson in John 5 that we can pull out of it. So we're going to go ahead and we're just going to jump right into John chapter 5. And I'll be reading primarily from the English Standard Version of Scripture. So we're going to begin in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, not related to the message, but if you're looking for a scripture that ties to Jesus keeping feasts, you know, there's a good one for you. So continuing on in verse 2. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Now, at this point, we're going to go ahead and just skip on down to verse 5. Verse 5, one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Now, I think the King James Bible, if you have that in front of you, I really like the way it captures the essence of this scripture, so I'm going to read to you the King James version of verse 6 there. So verse 6 from the King James states, "When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" Now this is an interesting question for Christ to ask. Will you be made whole? If you like a title for this message, you can use that. That'd be a good title for you. Will you be made whole? Now, this question from Christ, will you be made whole, shouldn't be taken at face value. It shouldn't be glanced over, you know, as you read this passage. I believe there's depth to this specific question. You know, I believe that Christ knew this is Christ, this is the Son of God. He knew the answer to the question he was asking, obviously. So I believe Christ has given us an opportunity to maybe learn a little bit of a lesson here. So let's continue on to hopefully gain an understanding of that additional lesson that we can pull out of that question. So we'll continue on in verse 7. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. And as I mentioned previously, but not really tied into this message, but as I mentioned, this, some people consider, you know, this a portion of a Sabbath-specific type scripture, because it is mentioned specifically in verse 9. There was a point for it to be mentioned. You know, not only is this the catalyst for the Jewish leaders to seek to kill Christ, but it's also a very valuable lesson in showing godly love and compassion, you know, especially on the Sabbath day, which, you know, is a message topic in itself, I believe, could be pulled out of that. But nonetheless, this passage in John isn't merely a lesson of displaying godly love on the Sabbath, or, you know, just merely a means of fulfilling prophecy. But John 5 I feel, can all be looked at or tied to a lesson of our calling, of our personal calling. You know, when we were called, whether a first-generation Christian who was introduced to the faith by a radio program or a Plain Truth magazine or someone associated with the church, or if you're a second or third-generation Christian where your calling came when you accepted the calling as you matured in the faith, either way, we were all asked the same exact question. We were all asked by our Father, will you be made whole? And there's a question in that. You know, before our calling, before we accepted Christ as our Savior, committed our way to God's holy word and his commandments and his statutes and his laws and the instruction in Scripture, we too were invalids. We were invalids. We were blind. We were lame. We were paralyzed. We were unable to see the truth of God's plan. We were unable to walk in the paths of righteousness. And we were paralyzed. We were paralyzed by our sin, unable to draw closer to God. And just like the invalid at the pool, we too were then, and we still are today, surrounded by many who are also in need of that same healing, that same instance of being made whole. You know, the invalid at the pool was personally selected by Christ as an example for us and as an example for the entire world. And we too have been chosen as a living example of the power of God, the power of God and his Holy Spirit. You know, we've been given the opportunity others have not yet been given, right? We know that. We received our calling, our offer to be made whole in the same manner as which the invalid received his, by the Father through the Son, not by his own doing, and definitely not by the help of anyone else around him. As we read in verse 7, the invalid, you know, as he said, he couldn't help himself, and there was no one else there that was going to help him. You know, it just wasn't going to happen. Only through being chosen by Christ himself could the invalid receive the blessing of being made whole. It only came through Christ. I believe this is a direct correlation to our calling. You know, we had to be personally selected by God to receive the opportunity to cast off our spiritual invalidity, right? We were spiritual invalids. But I also believe that there is absolutely more to this lesson than just being chosen out of many and just being healed, right? Healed of our spiritual lameness. You know, when Christ confronted the invalid for the second time, Christ gave him very vital instructions. So what was that instruction? Well, we'll take a look at that. So we'll pick this lesson back up, still in John 5. We'll skip down to verse 14. John chapter 5, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him, of course, speaking of the invalid, in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. Sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you." There seems to be something contingent upon not continuing to sin that's required for being made whole. Christ's instructions seem to indicate that continuing to sin after being restored, you know, came with dire consequences. And that it's important to not take that special blessing for granted, right? Christ has given him specific instructions. He's saying, you know, sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. You know, this is the same condition we received when we accepted our own calling. You know, we were given the chance to change our lives. We were given the chance to be made whole. But being made whole can only be possible when sin, when the ways of the world around us does not dictate our life, when we control sin as opposed to sin controlling us, or when we control what's going on around us as opposed to the world controlling, you know, what we absorb. You know, our calling is a personal blessing, yet in order to fully receive the gifts that come with our calling, you know, we must be able to alter our lives. We have to be able to make that change. You know, our actions, our thoughts, you know, the sinful nature that's around us all has to change in order for us to be able to retain that gift of our calling that we'll receive, you know, in the future. You know, before our calling, we were subject to the penalties of our past decisions, right? We were blind, we were lame, as I said, we were paralyzed. And our sins separated us from our Father, and the only reward we had was death. That was the only reward we had. Yet, of course, by no power of our own, we were chosen, just like the invalid, by no power of him, of his own, to receive that gift of a better way of life. You know, we were told to stand firm in the faith. You know, that's 1 Corinthians 16:13. We were told to walk uprightly, Psalms 48:15. And we were told, blessed are our eyes because we see, Matthew 13:16. We were forgiven of our sins and spared that death penalty. However, our instructions were the same as the instructions to the invalid that day. We must turn from the ways of our past. We must leave the sinful nature, as I said, of the world around us. And we must go and sin no more. I mean, that's not to say that everyone out there is sinning. It's just saying that it's around us. It's everywhere. We have to avoid it. We have to avoid everything that separates us from our Father. You know, our calling is a gift from God, yet how we respond to that gift, how we interact with God, how we change our lives, is what will make us whole. You know, Christ healed the invalid at the pool. Christ chose him solely out of a multitude of people that needed healing. Yet Christ also made sure that the invalid knew that something was expected of him, something he had to do something on his own. You know, of course, we all do it with the help of God, but he had to do something, make a physical effort to do something, you know, to make sure that nothing worse happened, nothing else befell him. You know, we've been given the same responsibility. You know, we've been called out of many. We've been healed of our infirmities of spiritual blindness and spiritual lameness. But we too have also been warned that if we don't fully commit to God's way instead of the sinful ways of the world, you know, we will surely lose that gift that we've been given, that gift of our calling. And that, brethren, I believe, is a very good underlying lesson of John chapter 5.